And I'll begin reading in verse 1. I'm titled the message this morning, Lost and Found. Lost and Found. The love of our Savior, mercy, love, and grace. God gives us so much, and with so much we have been given. Now, if you're here today and you do not know about that mercy, love, and grace, I hope that this will be the day you come to trust in Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not leave a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Excuse me. Likewise, I say unto you all, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man did give unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this precious truth in the Word of God. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, I pray for us as believers that we would have that desire to see the lost, to come and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead them to Jesus so that there will be rejoicing in heaven. And Lord, I pray as well yet again, if there is someone here, whether they'll be watching our live stream, or Lord, if they're in this very room today, Lord, they know about Jesus and his love. They know that they're a sinner, but yet they've never asked Jesus to save them from their sins. I pray this will be the day they do that. Again, Lord, I just pray at this time you give me the words and wisdom. The priest thus saith the Lord. I pray if there be any sin between me and you, that you'd forgive me of anything that I may have done wrong. And Lord, I just pray in a special way you do the work in our midst today that only you can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lost and found. It's a precious truth we find in the Word of God. God this morning is seeking for someone, and that someone is lost. God's desire for this world, for each and every person, is to not be lost, but to be found. When you look around you and you look in this world and you see the suffering and you see the results of sin, God sees that too. When you look at what is going on and you wonder, why is this happening? God knows about it. And God has an answer to the problems. And one day he'll solve the problems of this world when he'll come and rule and reign. But right now, God wants to rule and reign in your heart. He wants you to be found. He wants you to receive peace, not the peace that this world gives, but everlasting peace, which is found in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, we have tribulation. There's no escaping that. But for anyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, they have peace. Peace in knowing that their sins are forgiven, they're on their way to heaven. Peace in knowing that one day God will rule and reign in this world and he'll take care of all these problems. Peace in knowing that this life is only temporary and that there is an eternal life yet to come. As we look at the world around us, God's desire is for sinners to come back to him. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God views this world as everyone has gone astray. Everyone has turned to their own way. But the Lord had an answer to that. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, and he shed his blood for you. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He did that for you. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants each and every person to have everlasting life. But there's an issue at hand. If we're lost, if we never received Christ, we don't know Jesus, then our sin will separate us from God forever and put us in a place the Bible calls hell. But God's desire is not for that to happen. You say, how do you know that? Because he sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could go to heaven. You say, how do you know God loves me? Because he died on the cross for your sins so that you could have everlasting life. In these three parables that we read, we get a picture of what is going on in heaven today. Today, every time someone bows the knee who is lost and calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, there is rejoicing in heaven. Every time someone realizes that, you know what, I'm a sinner, but Christ died for my sins, and they receive that precious gift, there is rejoicing in heaven. These parables that we see before us this morning show us the heart of God. God is searching for the lost. The lost become found when their relationship is formed with God by putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. As we look at these parables, I want us this morning just to notice three important truths. Three important truths. And if you're taking notes, first of all, I want you to realize that you're important to God. You're important to God. God left his home in heaven to prepare you a home in heaven. God left his glory. He left everything in heaven. He left all the things that he had and all the stuff that he had to come here to die on the cross for your sins. The Pharisees and scribes, when Jesus was here ministering to sinners on this earth, murmured against Jesus because he received sinners. And so Jesus responds by telling the importance of sinners to God. Some people, they look at those around them when they're struggling with sin and the way people live their lives, and they look on them with disdain. And they say, these people deserve what they're going to get. But God, when he looks around, he sees us all in the same category. He says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. We tend to measure good and bad. We want to make ourselves look better than we actually are. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all sin. We all do things that are wrong. Whether we say something we regret to our wives, whether it is something that we did when we were in our youth, certain sins that we practice that we now look back and regret. Maybe it's just a simple thing where you took something that didn't belong to you. What I'm trying to paint is this picture. We all do things that the Bible calls sin. But regardless of our sin, we're still important to God. The Bible says in Luke 15, verse 1, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God is searching us, and this is what Jesus is teaching to these Pharisees and scribes. They murmured at Jesus because he ate with sinners. And Jesus says to them, you know what? Sinners are important to God. He gives these parables to show that sinners are important to him. And they're so important that he goes searching for them. Jesus coming to this earth was no accident. It was a plan to restore your relationship with God. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll begin reading it in verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 7, and we'll read to verse 11. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says the following. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Even when we weren't seeking, even when we weren't looking, God was searching. God was seeking. His desire is for the person that doesn't know to know that they are important to him. His desire is for them to understand that he gave his life for them. Your importance is showing the truth that God sent his Son to be the propitiation for your sins. He sent him to take your place at that cross. All that you should have suffered because of your sins, Christ suffered in your place. He died there so you could have forgiveness. His love for you is not dependent on your love for him. His love for you is always the same, and he wants anyone who is lost to come to him. When you think this thought, no one loves me, no one cares about me, all the things that I ever suffered, people have always hurt me. I want you to understand this. God loves you, and you are important to God. Not only are you important to God, but without Jesus, you are lost. Without Jesus, you are lost. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 21. Romans 6. In verse 21. The Bible says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you're lost and you are in your sins, you have not received that free gift of salvation. The Bible describes it as being lost. You are lost in your sin. The Bible puts it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Without Jesus, you are lost. Without Jesus, you have not life. And what life is that? That is eternal life, which God wants each and every person to have this morning. God wants you not to be lost. He wants you to receive Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and following, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Bible speaks of being lost as being aliens or enemies in our mind by wicked works. The Bible says that God made peace through us through the blood of his cross. But that peace can only be received when you trust in Jesus. If you don't trust in him, you're still an enemy of God. You're still at that place where you're lost. And which brings me to my last point, and I'll be done. You're lost without Jesus, but you are found with Jesus. You're found with Jesus. As we go through this, the parables that I read, it mentions about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and of course, the lost son. With the lost son, it speaks about his life, how he wanted his living. He wanted his money, so he goes out and he enjoys life. He lives it up. And then things change. He runs out of money. Things start going downhill. There's a famine in the land. Everything begins to fall apart. And he comes to a place, the Bible says, where he comes to himself. And he realizes that all the things that this world had to offer, it was empty. It didn't help. And then he is reminded of his father. And he says, you know what? I've given my life to this world, and I've wasted my life in this world. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called a son to my father. And sometimes people in this world, they think, you know what, I've lived so long in this world that I can't come to God because I'm not worthy. But God gives us this passage to show us a simple truth, that God wants you to be found this morning. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many years you've spent in living for yourself. God's desire is for you to come to Jesus. He wants you to be found. He wants you to receive that precious gift and come to Him. I'm going to read again from the book of Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read at verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. God, if you're here this morning and you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will be merry when you just understand a simple truth. You may not be worthy. You may have done a great many things, and we all have, if we're honest of ourselves, that certain sins in our lives. But God, when He looks at you, He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come home. He's like a father. He's waiting for that child who's rebelled and gone the wrong way in life and done the wrong things in life. He's waiting for you to get things right. And the way we get things right is just being honest with ourselves. We're not perfect. And being honest with God. And God sees that honesty. And His desire is for you to come to Him this morning. He doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to be found. And you say, how do you know God is looking for me? Because God brought you here this morning. You say, how do you know that God is looking for me? It's recorded in His Word. How do you know that God would save me? Because the Bible says, God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that, as a matter of fact, that is the only reason the way the world continues as it does today. The Bible says God is not slack concerning His promises, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The world continues on the way it does, not because God is ignoring it, but God wants you to get things right with Him so you don't suffer the consequences for your sin. God wants you to come home. He wants you to be found. I don't know where each and every one of you stands before God at this time, but you and God do. If you are lost, God wants you to be found. What will determine what will happen is whether or not you'll come to Him this morning. And for the Christians here, I know it's one of their desires is to see people to come. The reason why we gather together and we worship Him, we do that because we love God and He deserves our worship. But we also gather together so that other people will know. And so the other lost will know. And so more people will be found, because that is the greatest gift to have this morning, is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And all you have to do is come to Him today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy. We thank You for these